Well, certainly a beautiful Sunday morning, and it's always a blessing to be together to worship the Lord. I want to thank you for the invitation, and we always enjoy coming, enjoy the fellowship together, think of you a lot, and it's good to be together again. So let's keep looking to the Lord. Father's Day, a very special day. God has given us fathers, and that's a very special gift. Fathers are special in their homes, and it also is a special blessing to be a father. What a wonderful experience to be a father of a family. We're blessed with that, and every father feels that blessing and feels the joy of being a father. And yet also there's a heavy responsibility that we certainly need the help of the Lord, don't we, to be a father in our Christian homes. We'd like to turn to Exodus 17. A little story there is the basis of our Father's Day message. We're going to get some lessons from it. Exodus 17, where they were fighting and they set Moses on a stone there and lifted up his arms. So they won the battle. Exodus 17, we'll begin reading at verse 8. Reading from 8 to 12. Exodus 17, starting at verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Well, that was an interesting story, how they were fighting the enemy, and every time Moses lifted up his hands, they started to prevail and win. And when Moses' hands got heavy and he sagged down again, then the enemy began to prevail. So Moses and Aaron stood there and held up his hands until the battle was over, and they won the victory. Father's Day, we think of fathers, and we like to think this morning of holding up father's arms. Holding up father's arms. And so we picture in our minds, here's Moses sitting on a stone. So this morning we'll take Moses off the stone just for this morning, and we'll put father on the stone, sitting there. And so here's father on the stone now, the head of the home. And maybe sometimes he gets tired and weary, and his hands hang down and sag down a little bit. And so we're going to replace Aaron and Moses as well, with the rest of the family standing beside father, holding up father's arms. So let's look at how can we hold up father's arms this morning in our homes so that the battle can be won. If father's arms sag and he gets tired and weary or discouraged, then we're all going to lose. So let's think about five ways that we can hold up father's arms. The first way is holding up father's arms as he makes a living. First Timothy, turn to 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Making a living is a big job, a serious commitment, a serious charge. 1 Timothy 5, 8 brings it out in a very serious way. 1 Timothy 5, 8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There's a serious charge put on every father to earn a living and provide for his family. Of course, men today work hard and want to work hard, but it's a big job. One man, just think about it, one man providing all the needs of his family. That's a huge job. It really is. One man providing for maybe five other people, or maybe the family may vary. One man may be providing for up to 10 people. That's a huge job. It's a charge from God, and fathers today take that very seriously. So be of good courage, fathers. Want to hold up your arms as you make a living. I wrote down a list of things that just kept coming more and more things to me. One man has to buy all the food for everybody in the house. One man has to provide enough food for 21 meals a week. He has to buy enough clothes for everybody, enough shoes. He has to buy books, maybe newspaper subscriptions, books, magazines, perhaps. Father has to provide for one, two, or three vehicles for the family. And Father has to get them fixed and repaired and buy fuel from them all as well. Think of it. Father has to provide a home, maybe buy a farm or a house or a lot, and maybe make payments and pay interest and pay the taxes on the house and the property for everybody. Father has to buy the lawnmower and the garden tiller and all those things that are needed to do the outside work. There has to be house repairs sometimes. Sometimes we have to put a new roof on, and we need paint and paper once in a while as well. Guess who buys that? Father. And so there's so many things that have to be done. Then we have to pay for the school expenses as well. Every father has to provide for the schooling of his family, has to pay the doctor bill, has to pay the dentist bill, and of course then there's a church offering, has to pay for that. Father does all of that. And then also missions. We expect to operate missions with money, and so Father has to give money for that as well. So here's one man having to work, make a living, work hard, and he has to provide for 5 to 10 people. And so when we think of, if we picked out 10 fathers this morning here, sitting here, 10 of you fathers have to provide all these things for 50 to 100 people. That's a heavy responsibility. God bless fathers for all they do, and how hard they work, and how much they care. And when we think of all fathers do and how they love their families, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It talks about loving and giving. It's compared to the loving and giving of Christ, but it's also true of fathers. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It says Christ loved and Christ gave. Fathers love and fathers give. Fathers love their wife, they love their families, and they work hard to give and provide and feed and clothe. And so that's a wonderful picture of fathers. God bless you, fathers, for all you do. Fathers are very sacrificial. Fathers aren't selfish about their time. They put a lot of time into making a living. Fathers aren't selfish about keeping all the money. No, they provide for 5 to 10 people. And so they do a lot of hard work and sacrificial work in a Christ-like way. Just as Christ loved and gave, so fathers do. They do as well. They love and give. They love their families. They love their children. And so they give and provide. An interesting study on love is that the first time love is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis 22, verse 20, verse 2, and it's speaking of the love of a father for his son. I thought that was very impressive. The first time that love is mentioned in the Bible, it's the love of a father for his son. And in that particular reference, it's Abraham's love for his son Isaac. The first time love is mentioned is a father's love for a son. Fathers love and they give. In the New Testament, the first love mentioned in the book of Matthew is God's love for his son. Behold, this is my beloved son. In the Gospel of Mark, the first love that's mentioned is the same one, where God said, this is my son who I love. Luke, same thing. The first reference to love is God loving his son. Gospel of John, first love that's mentioned there is John 3:16. God so loved each of us, his family, his children. We're his children. God so loved us that he sent his own beloved son to die for us. And so it's very interesting that love, a very powerful part of love in the Bible, is the love of a father for his son. And then we have this verse in Ephesians 5 here, where it talks about that Christ loved and gave, and fathers, it says, you love and give too. And so God bless you, fathers, as you love. And for the rest of the family, just think about it. Think about how much father loves. For your husband, your father, think about how much he loves, cares, and puts into providing for you. The second point leads right into it. hold up Father's arms of being thankful for all he does. And it's about time we talk about being thankful. This is what point two is about. Hold up Father's arms of being thankful for all he does. We're in Ephesians here. Look at verse 20. Ephesians 5:20 speaks of being thankful. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're supposed to give thanks always. We're supposed to give thanks in all things unto God and unto the Father, the Heavenly Father, and we could even say there, and our earthly fathers. Be thankful in all things to God, the Heavenly Father, and your earthly Father in all things, because they do so much to help us. We have talked about all the providing they do, but the hard work. Who works harder than Father? Father works the hardest of all. Who gets up first? Dad. Who works the hardest? Dad. Who splits the wood? Dad. Who cleans out the chimney? Dad does. Children never do. Who fixes the flat tires? Dad. Never Mom. And in the middle of the night when a bat starts flying around, who goes after the bat? Dad does. Guess who ducks under the covers and waits till it's all over with? Mom. So Dad does so many hard things. Does anyone notice? Does anyone thank Dad? Does anyone express their appreciation? Do you say thank you? Do you appreciate all that your husband does, all that your father does? Be sure to thank him. Be sure to say thank you, Dad, over and over again. And so if all these menial tasks that Father has to do, he goes on and on, day after day, and his hands start hanging down, who's going to be there to hold up Father's arms? Will you? Will you hold up Father's arms? Be sure to hold up Father's arms by saying, thank you, Father. And that will help pick up his arms, and he'll feel like going on and doing more of that hard work and more of those tasks. And here Ephesians 5 said, giving thanks always for all things. Well, you can take that home and make that a rule of thanking your husband, thanking your father, always, it says, in all things. Well, that's quite, covers a lot, doesn't it? Not just once in a while, not just on Father's Day, but always in all things. Thank God for his goodness and all he's done, and thank your Father for all he's doing for you as well. And fathers, God bless you for all your hard work. And sometimes it seems that fathers are put on a guilt trip because maybe we hear so much or feel so much. Oh, we should be spending more time with our families. We shouldn't be working so hard. That's taking us away from our family. And sometimes men get on a guilt trip. But men are in a hard spot today. It takes a lot of work to make a living and provide for your family, which is also a godly calling. And so don't be in a guilt trip when you're working hard, providing for your family. That's God's calling too. Point three, holding up Father's arms and making decisions. Fathers have a lot of hard decisions to make. Turn to Proverbs 12, verse 25. Proverbs has a lot of good practical teaching. And it does for us here on the subject of fathers. Holding up Father's arms and making decisions. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Here's a picture of Father's hands sagging down. Proverbs 12, 25. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. When you picture Father sitting there in that stone with his arms sagging, heaviness makes his arms go down. Who's going to be there to pick it up? Well, the family can help a lot. Where's the one that gives the good word that makes his hands go back up again? Often the wife has the right words to pick up his hands again and to pick up his courage again. But remember, fathers and husbands have a lot of hard decisions to make. their decisions are very hard, because if they, in business, if they make the right decision, it can really go well and prosper. If they make the wrong decision, it can be disaster. And so making the right decision is often very difficult. We find that on the farm too. You think and think and think and make your decisions about the future and how you're going to operate. And sometimes it's the right thing and it goes well. Other times it's the wrong thing and you wish you wouldn't have. So making the right decisions for a father are serious and far-reaching. There's usually far-reaching effect. Shall I buy these steers? Should I buy the neighbor's farm? It's for sale. Should I trade in my tractor or should I keep fixing the old one? And what about changing jobs? Maybe I should be working for somebody else. Should I be working for that man or should I be working for that man? So there's far-reaching effects, long-lasting results. And if you make a better decision, it can go well for a long time. If you make the worst decision, it can be bad. And so often it's on the fathers, on our husband, to make those decisions. Now, wives have decisions to make too, but sometimes on a day-by-day basis, it's not as far-reaching and serious like what should we have for supper and what meal should I make or what kind of pie or what color petunia shall I buy, and all those things are important. We're glad the ladies do all that, but it doesn't have the far-reaching effects of the decisions of a man. And so here in this verse, heaviness in the heart of man, Proverbs 12:25. May this heart stoop, and you feel, because the decisions are heavy, then sometimes fathers have heavy hearts, and they sag, and they down they go, kind of, and their hands hang down. And so, what can the wife do to help in lifting up his hands, holding up father's hands? Awfully important that he keeps encouraged. One thing you can do, be interested in his decisions. Be interested. Show your interest. Do you do that? Do you show interest in your husband's decisions? Sometimes women don't. I know, I've heard of ladies, this was in Canada, they say, don't want a thing to do with it. It's his problem. Now that's not much help. Down go his hands. A heavy decision. How can you lift up his arms and help pick him up? Well, you can help him think it through. Get him talking. What are all the options? Get him talking and thinking. And sometimes if you can get him talking, then he can figure out better what he should be doing and make a better decision. These are heavy decisions involving the future of the whole family. So encourage him and have words of encouragement. Stand by him and he'll feel that you're holding up his arms. And that can be a real strength and a help. And he can maybe make a better decision if his arms are being held up by your loving support. Point number four, holding up his arms when there's failure and disappointment. And maybe we're going on now to when the plans didn't work out and there's failure. Also in Proverbs is a good verse here in chapter 24, verse 16. Proverbs 24:16. Let's talk about failure. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now, properly understood, this just man is not falling. It doesn't mean fall into sin. It means being flattened, being knocked down. I studied it out. This is a just man. This is a good man. And he gets flattened. Best cow dies. Machinery breaks. Plans didn't work out the way he hoped. Rains on the hay. And all his good plans are flattened and dashed to the ground. And so that's the meaning of this verse. It goes on then to say, yeah, a bad man, he falls into sin. Yeah. But a just man, a sound man, a good father, a good husband, sometimes gets flattened and knocked down. Now what? How can you hold up his arms? Gets swatted down. Who's going to pick him up? Who's going to hold him up? And again, we appeal to the wife because women are exceptionally gifted in being encouragement. It's a tremendous gift that women have. And so he rises up again. Who helps him get up? Usually his wife. And women are gifted in that. And so when men's troubles are big, then they need a big lift. And so sometimes men's troubles cost a lot. It takes a lot of time and a lot of energy to fix those troubles up. And so children and the wife You can do a lot to hold up father's arms and build him up. Help build up his confidence. Father, you can do it. We know you can. Sorry it went wrong. Be sympathetic. Be with him in his sympathy. Feel with him. Feel his pain. Identify. That'll help lift his arms. He'll sense that. He'll know that you care. And that will mean a lot. And help me pick up his arms. When you show your sympathy and care and suffer with him. And help him not to feel like a failure. Because fathers have this strong feeling of wanting to lead out well. Wanting to provide well. Wanting to be a good husband, a good father. That's their crowning joy. And so when they fail and things don't work out well, they do need a lift. They do need your encouragement. And they do need help from you. So keep holding up father's arms. We go down to point five now. Holding up father's arms by keeping a cheerful atmosphere. That helps. And it's a lot the same as the last point, but we're going on specifically to, okay, Proverbs 15:13 speaks of that quite well. Proverbs 15:13. Here speaks of the cheerful part. I like the word cheerful here. And we're talking about a cheerful atmosphere. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. And we could turn that around. A cheerful countenance and a cheerful atmosphere helps the spirit of the heart to be repaired, not broken. And so a cheerful atmosphere is so important. And I'm thinking particularly of father's relationship with men out there in the business world. And sometimes the stress of working with other people is very difficult. And so when we think of the need to have a cheerful atmosphere in the home, because out there in the business world and the daily scene, your husband, the father, may be facing a lot of stress working with difficult people. I think working with difficult people in the job through the week, wherever, can almost be crushing because it's so uncomfortable when people aren't nice and a lot of people aren't nice. And so that can be a real crushing blow to father and husband who's maybe out there trying to make a living and trying to work things out, and he faces this stress with other people. And so make sure when he comes home that you treat him different. And so here we are pounding quite a bit today on you wives and family, but we're trying to help hold up father's arms, aren't we? Yes, we are. So think about your ability to create a cheerful atmosphere in the home so that when father comes home from being out there in the business world working with stressful people, he can come home to a healing atmosphere and a cheerful place at home. And so this is a tremendous gift that women have to set the mood within the home. It's true. Women have emotional powers to set the mood within the home. And it's been said, I've heard it said, that usually the woman sets the emotional thermostat in the home. It can either be good or grumpy. It can either be happy or sad. And so that is true. Women can set the mood, and so the atmosphere can be peaceful, tranquil, and helpful, encouraging. Or it can be conflict and uneasy and tense. And so, sisters, be positive. Sisters, develop your abilities of having a positive atmosphere in the home. Develop that gift that women have to create an atmosphere. And if you're negative, often looking at the dark side of things, that's just a bad rut. You can get over that. It's a bad habit to look at the dark side. Learn to get over that habit and look on the bright side. And then you can affect your children as well to be cheerful and look on the positive side. And you can create an atmosphere so that when your husband comes home from work, that he feels the healing atmosphere of being at home. If he's been out there and everybody out there is grumpy and he comes home and you're all grumpy, that's not much help. But you want to hold up his arms. You want to lift up his arms. So maybe he's had a lot of stress all throughout the day and he comes home. Children are singing. You're looking on the bright side. You're full of encouragement. The atmosphere of the home is peaceful and tranquil and healing for his poor heart. He needs that. So God bless you, sisters, in keeping the family, keeping your home atmosphere cheerful. And so as this verse has said here about the cheerful countenance, the cheerful smile, and that's so welcome for a father and helps to pick up his arms and keep him encouraged. And a man can face almost anything out there if he's loved at home. I've experienced that too. And as a man, we can handle almost anything out there, wherever we might be and whatever we might face, if we have a good atmosphere at home. And so if you can help create a good atmosphere in the home of love and encouragement, that will strengthen your husband and your father as he goes out to face the hard, difficult strain and stress out there. And he can do a lot better job out there if he's encouraged at home. So there's a lot on the sisters, there's a lot on the family and on the children in holding up father's arms. In conclusion, we'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. Ephesians chapter 6, 1, 2, and 3, specifically for the children, their relationship to their parents. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, if you obey your parents, it's right. Well, turn that around. If you don't obey your parents, it's wrong. That's clear, isn't it? So children, obey your parents, because that's right. And so the part then too, in verse 2, it talks about honor your father, love him. And one way you can honor your father is to obey him. That's a good way to honor, and that's easy. It's not hard to obey. Oh, no. That's the easiest thing you can do is say, yes, Father, and do as he wishes. Because your father cares. We talked about how hard he works to put bread and butter on the table and buy you clothes and fix your teeth at the dentist. But your father also cares about you as a child and you as your a little soul. And your father's greatest desire is that you learn to obey him so that you'll learn to obey Jesus. Your father is concerned about your spiritual upbringing and your spiritual guidance. He cares so much that you turn out to be a child of God and live for Jesus. And he knows that if you learn to give in to Father, that you'll more easily give in to Jesus. If you'll cooperate with Dad, you'll cooperate with God and follow the Bible. Your father knows that. And so children, this is for you. Some verses here in the Bible. Obey your parents. Honor your parents. Realize that they care about you. And the fact that your father and mother have some rules, you may not do that, you may not do that, but you must do this, is because they love you so much. They love you. They care about you. They want to guide your little life. They want to help you grow up to be obedient, strong. They want to keep you pure. So there's certain things they won't let you do or look at or read or listen to. God bless them. Your parents care so much about you, children. They do. They guard you. They care for you. They will raise you up in the fear of the Lord so that you know God and get to know Jesus and really want to please God all the time. Because children, as you learn to honor your parents and honor and obey your parents, you will learn then better how to honor God and obey him and be a solid, strong believer and a follower of Jesus the rest of your life. And that's why I think it says in verse 3, it'll be well with you. If you learn to obey your parents and grow up, it'll be well with you so that you can walk with Jesus and walk with God and be blessed. And you'll be glad. Many of us have grown up, looked back and said, thank you, Mom and Dad, for all your care. Thank you for making me give in. Thank you for making me obey. It's a blessing to have parents who care enough to teach you the ways of truth. I have a friend who talked about Father's Day gifts, and he said when he was a little boy, he just loved his father so much, and on Father's Day, he wanted to please his father, and he'd go out in the yard, and he'd pick a few dandelions or little wildflowers and give them to his father, and his father was always so pleased, just like the very thing he wanted. And then when this little boy grew up and got a little bigger and had a little money, he'd go into the store and he'd look and look and look to see what he could buy. He didn't have much money, but he wanted to buy a little something to please his father. Oh, he looked and looked, and he was just so careful to make sure he got something that his father would like. And finally he found something, and he'd give it to his father as a Father's Day gift. Oh, the father was just so pleased, so happy, just what he wanted. As this little boy got bigger, and he'd maybe buy a little more stuff and more expensive to please his father. But he said to me, when he got to be a man, he realized that the thing that pleased his father the most is that this boy gave his heart to Jesus and lived for Christ. And he got to the point where he realized that was the greatest gift he could give to his father. Children, same for you. Grow up to give your father little things when you're small, bigger things when you get big, but make sure you give your heart to Jesus so that you can please your father and mother to the greatest extent. Now, Father's Day, we've had a little sermon here on lifting up father's arms, and maybe that's a gift you could give father, is to continue to hold up his arms. You might give him other gifts. Maybe you'll make a homemade card. I'm sure he'd be glad for that. Maybe you baked his favorite pie, and he'll be glad for that. It's Father's Day, something special. But if you can go home and get a hold of some of these points about lifting up father's arms and carry that out every day of the year, maybe that's a long-lasting Father's Day gift that he will appreciate, of you holding up father's arms.